Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
All right, one of the busiest days in the National Football League's calendar is today. And although Wednesday things don't become official, it's funny, man. They label it like the tampering period. Like, no, the tampering period was the last 2 months.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know why they do this. They should just let it go free for all. It doesn't matter. I don't know why they have limits. Well, this is just a tampering period. No, you guys, like you said, 3 months ago, we're talking about who you wanted.
Yes.
Today is just the day where you guys decide to put it all on the table, and then Wednesday you go and do your physicals.
Yeah.
That's it.
And put pen to paper. But everything's being agreed to now all around the country. It's actually, I mean, it's tough to keep up with. I mean, we just updated 12 stories in the last segment.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins is requesting a trade. Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman is finalizing a new contract. I mean, it's DeAndre Swift going to the Bears. It's wild. And then I do want to circle back to the quarterback conversation with Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta.
Money bags, man. He finds his way into money all the time.
It's crazy. and truly, like, give credit to his agent.
Yeah.
And your agent.
Yeah.
Mike McCartney out of Boulder. He has revolutionized the way to do a quarterback contract with Kirk Cousins. And maybe in 15 years, that will be the norm. And we will look back at Kirk Cousins' career. You hear, like, trailblazer, trendsetter. Like, that's a real thing with that quarterback and that agent.
Zach, the man, I think, I seen it come across the screen. I think Kirk Cousins has taken home $331 million. I want to say $331 million. That's guaranteed to him.
Wild.
Wild.
It is.
Is it? What was it? 300?
Let's see here. I'm on a Spotrac or Spotrac, depending on how you pronounce it. I really don't know. Looks like career earnings is $231 million right now,
yep.
But that may be the new guarantees that are coming his way. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I think he's getting a $50 million signing bonus, and he's guaranteed $100 million.
Wow.
And Kirk Cousins hasn't won a Super Bowl. Let's put it out there.
No, he hasn't. He's never played in a Super Bowl.
No.
I think he's won one playoff game.
Yes.
That was against the Saints.
It's mind-blowing. It's like, wow, the quarterback position is that
Yeah.
big, where it's like you're willing to give a quarterback that is a good quarterback, but do we call him a tier one quarterback at this time?
No. Oh, no. No. I mean, the tier one guys are it's Mahomes, it's Joe Burrow, it's Josh Allen, it's Lamar Jackson, and if you want to pick another one, Stafford, or throw one at a
Yeah,
he's not in that group. He's not in that group.
But he gets paid like him.
He gets paid, dude, and I had to go look it up because, like, Joe Montana's last year in the NFL, he's making $4 million.
Mm.
That wasn't 1968. It wasn't 1985.
What was Joe making in today's market?
How about this? Kirk Cousins is going to make more money this year playing quarterback than Joe Montana's entire career combined, Phil.
That's crazy.
He made $25 million in his career, which is obviously a lot of money in life, day-to-day people, but I wonder if former players, especially that were not a part of the fantasy football boom and sports wagering and the cap exploding in the 2000s and especially the 2010s, if someone like Joe Montana looks back with a little bit of, like, not that they'll say it out loud, but like a little bit of, like, spite, you know, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit like, hey, you guys stood on my shoulders. You know, you current players stood on my shoulders, and look at what this guy has never even been considered a top five quarterback.
That's what pioneers are for. You have to have ancestors. You have to have somebody to start things up. And although you're not going to get the reward that you want, you've paved the path that could help younger quarterbacks and younger players have a better opportunity than you. Yeah, it does suck to sit here and be like, man, if I was in this market today with, like, Joe Montana being Joe Montana, he would be making more than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, $40 million a year. I mean, right? That's where we're at. Little bit of breaking news. And I say little bit because it involves a kicker, but it is news here with the Denver Broncos. So we had news earlier today that Will Lutz was signing a 3-year deal with Jacksonville.
Mm.
And it's like, wait, really?
Yeah.
And obviously that's where Brandon McManus was.
Yeah, B-Mac.
Which is just like small world ironic stuff. But we have a shift. In the last 5 minutes, Adam Schefter is putting it out there that he said, quote, free agent change. Kicker Will Lutz, who agreed to terms earlier in the day with Jacksonville, changed his mind and is remaining in Denver.
Oh.
Broncos get back their kicker, and the Jaguars now need one.
Wow. Broncos country, let's kick.
He's back.
Will Lutz. Temporary period.
Yes.
You lie. You lie to one team to get more money.
Isn't that funny? Of like you, and this is what makes this like 2-day period leading up to Wednesday so funny because, yeah, most of this stuff is agreed to 99% of the time. But you have a guy like Will Lutz changing his mind and coming back to Denver. That is wild.
The money must have been good over here in Denver if that's the case.
Do you think they circled back and offered him more?
I think so. I think that they gave him, I don't know, maybe $1 million more than Jacksonville because Jacksonville tax bracket, right? They don't have taxes, right?
No,
they don't have state taxes.
No state taxes. See, in Florida.
And that's something that you have to look for is like, am I willing to give up some of the state taxes in somewhere like Jacksonville where I can make more money in the end or come back to Denver? So Denver must have given him a better offer than what Jacksonville gave him in order to stay home.
Wow.
Stay with his dad, Sean.
Will Lutz bidding war is something that I did not see on my bingo card today.
Breaking news. Kicker style.
He's back.
I was kind of thinking, I was like, okay, if Will Lutz leaves, why not bring back B-Mac?
I
you know?
Sure. But, you know, on paper, that may have made sense, but as it's been my theory since the day that it happened, personality conflict between Sean Payton and Brandon McManus.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I think B-Mac had too much power in the NFLPA, too much say, not wanting to do things if he didn't want to do it. And so I think Sean was like, look, we're trying to build something different here, build
right,
a culture,
right?
And I need everybody on board. And if you don't agree with me, then we have to part ways.
Yeah, and he was just like a big personality for a kicker.
He was. He was like a referee half the time.
I was going to say, he would literally dress up like an official for practice.
My man would take his off days when he wanted to.
I mean, pretty much. Is sitting on the glass at the Avs, sitting courtside with the Nugs. It was like,
we're talking about a kicker
like
here.
If you're out of town, like, who's that? You know, oh, yeah, that's our kicker. That's Brandon McManus. So we'll see. So Will Lutz, if you're just joining us, apparently headed back to Denver, contrary to the report from about 3 hours ago that he was headed to Jacksonville. Busy day. We're going to try to keep you abreast with all of the news, okay? But we did learn since the last time we were on the air together on Friday that Russell Wilson is headed to Pittsburgh to join the Steelers. Here's Adam Schefter earlier today on ESPN.
I think Mike Tomlin will declare an open competition. I think we in the media will believe that Russell Wilson will step up and seize that opportunity. But I don't think that Mike Tomlin's going to come out and anoint Russell Wilson as his new starting quarterback. I think this is something that's going to have to be won on the field. You're talking about a 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback who's coming off a season in which he had 26 touchdown passes, 8 interceptions. The Broncos were willing to move on from him. They have their own quarterback questions. But Pittsburgh identified the opportunity cost here and figured it was worth moving ahead. And I think it's interesting because Russell Wilson could have been in play in any number of places as a potential Kirk Cousins fallback if a team didn't land him. And now he obviously opts to go early in free agency for a decorated franchise for an offensive coordinator who's determined to bounce back after his stint as the head coach in Atlanta for a Mike Tomlin team that wants to get back to the playoffs and have some postseason success, the likes of which they haven't had in quite some time.
Wow. Okay. Russell Wilson headed to the Steel City. We've talked about this for a while. And I know a lot of our listeners know this, but just to be clear, the offensive coordinator that Adam Schefter is talking about in Pittsburgh is Arthur Smith,
yeah,
who has been the coach of the Atlanta Falcons for, I think, the last two, maybe 3 years. He was an assistant with Tennessee during their great run with Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And I think he's a good coach. Whether he's a great head coach, not sure. But they moved on from Matt Canada during the year. If you remember that name, that fan base, they wanted blood with Matt Canada. They moved on during the year. And the Steelers actually became only the second team in, I think, the last 20 years to fire their OC during the year and make the playoffs that same season. Take that for what it's worth. But, how do you think this is going to go for Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I like the fit, Zach. I think both of us agreed that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be a good fit for Russ. I like the fit. I think that Russell Wilson can have success over there. Arthur Smith is a good offensive coordinator, and they're going to base it around running the football. Okay, and everybody knows when Russell Wilson had his success, he had a run game to go with it. Beast mode. Marshawn Lynch was a big part of why Russell Wilson was able to do the things he was able to do. Well, over here in Pittsburgh, they have two solid running backs. They're going to do some play action, which is it's up Russell's alley. And they have a couple really talented receivers that Russ can get them the deep ball. And I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to do a lot of, you know, play action to the tight end and some deep ball throws. And I think that Russ will be successful.
Well, they were 10-7 last year with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. And I think that, well, there's plenty of layers to this here. There's you mentioned the wide receivers, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what the personality, a fit with him and those guys are.
They've had some issues, didn't they, this year?
George Pickens is an interesting cat. And just from everything I understand, watching that situation from afar,
yeah,
doesn't seem like a great culture fit. Doesn't seem like...
I agree with you.
It almost seems like an anti-Steelers kind of guy.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah.
And Mike Tomlin has went to bat for that man a couple times where it's like, that's kind of out of Mike Tomlin's character as well. Is he's kind of more of a, either get in and fit in with us, or you're going to be out of here.
Yeah.
But he's been patient with players like that, which kind of, you know, makes you wonder, like, why? And I know that Pickens is a very, very talented receiver.
He is. There's no question about it. The Broncos are going to pay the bill. I mean, for a meal that they're not going to eat. We've known this was going to be the case for a while, but when you see it actually play out, where the Steelers are going to pay Russell Wilson to play quarterback $1.2 million, and the Broncos are going to pay about $38 million in salary.
Man.
Now, Diana Rossini of The Athletic did report that Russ was also interested in the Raiders and the Patriots. I think Russell, for all the doubts that I have of Russell's remaining career, I do think he ended up in the best possible location for his own personal success.
Do you think that this was his last swing, and that's why he decided to go with the Steelers, because it gave him the best opportunity to get to a postseason, to kind of get over the hump and get back into the playoffs?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's a pretty simple equation for me. It's a team that has an ability to run the football, that they have a top 10 defense in four of their last five seasons. And when Russell Wilson was playing with a top 10 defense, he went to the playoffs.
Mm.
And he doesn't have to do a lot of heavy lifting there. He's going to be asked to, you know, play well. It's not going to be a free lunch there. No. Just because he, you know, went to 9 Pro Bowls.
I feel like he's going to be asked to make 3 to 5 plays at the end of the game. Third quarter, fourth quarter, that fourth quarter Russ magic. I think that's what they're asking him to do. And if he can do that, Zach, they're going to win games just because their defense is a solid defense. And Russ comes up with big plays when it matters the most. That's one thing we could both say about Russ, is he's found ways to have some magic plays come out that arm.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that. The timely nature of Russell's career, just in general, but we even saw it here in Denver. You know, the timely nature of some him just coming through in the clutch, and he has that gene to grow with the moment. But I just, Phil, you'll have to excuse me, I just still doubt the possession-by-possession viability of Russ. And as much as these people around the country say, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 26-8, you know, Robert Griffin saying, I watched every throw of them this year. I just, I don't know. I actually did. And we've been in the trenches with this team and watching him for 2 years, and maybe some of the red flags that we should have been, George Payton should have been, more aware of in his last year in Seattle. I just wonder if the possession by possession, just inconsistency and lackluster nature will reveal its head in Pittsburgh. And if it does, and I don't know. I mean,
I don't know, Zach. This year, we can't say at the beginning of the year, if the defense would have played better than what they did at the beginning of the year, they would have won some of those games. And I think that Russ was more consistent. Now, our expectations for Russ were up here, Peyton Manning style.
Yeah,
because that's
initially.
Kind of what he brought to, that's what we thought he was going to bring to the table and what he said he was going to bring to the table.
Yes.
But last year, he did have statistically, he had a solid year, okay? And you put him with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers were winning games they weren't supposed to be, and they were winning games 10 to, 9.
Yeah.
Some crazy ways to win because that defense was that tough. Now, you add someone like Russ, that's not going to make those big mistakes, but he's also going to add something that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not have, that stability.
Yeah.
With the quarterback position. Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, they had Trubisky, I want to say, on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have someone like Russell Wilson. Yeah, our expectations shouldn't be up here with him. And, he's not the same quarterback as he used to be.
Yeah.
But he can still win games.
Yeah, this was the one situation where we would talk about it for the last 6 weeks or whatever that does make me uncomfortable from a Broncos perspective. Mm-hmm. Because if he goes and plays well in Pittsburgh, and that team is in the playoffs, and let's get crazy. You get into the playoffs, anything can happen. Let's just say they win a game. I don't want to get carried away and say Russell's back in the AFC title. And if they win a playoff game and Russell Wilson's the quarterback of a 10-win team and they're in the playoffs, it's going to be a bad look for the Broncos. It will be. But I'm here to tell you, it's going to be the worst look of all for Sean Payton. It's going to be the worst look of all because the Broncos are going to be paying for a meal, looking across the restaurant, and Mike Tomlin's going to have a smile on his face as he eats the filet mignon that the Broncos paid for. Because make no mistake, $38 million, you're paying for filet mignon, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are paying for tuna. That's their portion of it, the $1.2 million. That's NFL tuna now. Tuna in a can, I mean. I'm not talking about in a sushi roll.
Some spam or something.
And it's going to be a bad look. And to think, and now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to be pulling their hair out with Russ.
I think you're hoping, because if they go to the playoffs and they find a way to get to the Super Bowl, we're just out here playing imaginary now.
You're just out here playing imaginary.
He's gonna be feeling that chill of the trophy. Somebody's about to be getting a tattoo.
Oh, no, the chill of that trophy.
Somebody's gonna be getting a tattoo.
The chill of that trophy again.
Oh, what are you gonna do in the next 5 years, Russ?
In the next 5 years, I want to win two.
He might now. He's with the Steelers, baby.
Well.
No matter what, I love to go back.
Let's just get crazy.
Yeah.
Let's go on a hallucinogenic trip. If the Steelers do, I don't even want to get carried away and say Super Bowl. If they're in the AFC title game, because they have a top 10 defense and a great running game, and Russ is able to make three or four, it will be one of the worst looks that we've had in NFL history. It's already the worst trade in NFL history.
Mm.
And now you're a part of a Colorado Rockies scenario where you are paying a player to not play for your team. If that player goes on to have success, it's going to be one of the worst looks in the history of NFL football because of the trade, because of the contract, because of the disastrous nature, and now where he's ending up and how that team is set up. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
How do you not think it's going to happen when you're dealing with a coach that has been winning since he's been in the league?
Most of those.
And it's not about, at this point, I think you're thinking of it as Russell, but you're not thinking, you got to stop thinking of it as just Russell Wilson. He's not the key piece anymore. He's just a part of the puzzle piece.
True.
To an organization that it has winning culture and knows how to win. Now, are they winning 12 games a year and winning playoffs right now? No, but they're winning games. They're winning more than they're losing. And you ask someone like Russell Wilson, who knows how to win games, okay, he does know how to win games, and he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be tailored towards, and also, he's not going to have to be the man.
No. Will he try?
Oh, he's going to try. He wants to feel the chill of that trophy, baby.
That could get him in trouble. I'm telling you, the way that he just is, I could see Mike Tomlin being like, what is this guy doing? Just the way that Russell
is.
What
was that whole discussion, you think?
What do you mean?
When he was in the organization, that whole time, there was a long discussion.
Yeah. He was there for hours to the point where Jocena Anderson had to circle back saying he's still at the facility. Do you think, I had it here in our notes, but I want to ask you here, because you're beating me to it. Do you think Mike Tomlin already had a conversation with him of what the expectation is from a noise standpoint?
100%. 100%. But I think Mike Tomlin sat him down and had a real heart-to-heart conversation with Russ to pick his brain, but also let him know, look, man, I'm picking you because I trust and believe in you. Okay.
And you cost $1 million.
And you cost $1 million.
I mean, come on, Phil.
No, for sure. And you're better than Kenny Pickett right now. Kenny Pickett's mad. I don't care.
And I believe he has been better than Kenny Pickett.
But I think that he's had that conversation with Russ where it's like, from me to you, like, cut all the bull crap. Look me in the eyes and let me know what I'm getting out of you. Okay. Because this is what I'm going to give you. And I think it's going to work out. Now, do I think they're going to win a Super Bowl?
It may.
I just think that's a winning culture, man. And they're going to come here to Denver. Probably the first game of the year.
You think it's going to be the first game of the year?
Oh, yes.
Phil?
I think so.
Phil, I think so, too.
Oh!
I think for the second time in 3 years, Russell is going to begin the season facing his former team.
That's crazy.
And it's going to be in Denver. And I think it's going to be Monday Night Football.
Monday night.
I think it's going to be Monday Night Football. I do.
He gonna feel the chill of that trophy.
I want to feel the chill of that trophy again.
What happens first? I want to throw this out to our listeners. And I didn't hear Stokely and Josh say it, but they may have, because Drew sent it out to us this morning. What's more likely to happen? Mike Tomlin has his first losing season in Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson as quarterback, or that the Steelers win a playoff game with Russell Wilson?
Woo-wee.
I want you to think about the answer to that question. We're going to circle back here in a couple minutes, and we'll field responses from the RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. All right, I didn't think something was possible about 2 weeks ago, and it's playing out in real time. We'll tell you what that is coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One!
All right, hey, huge shout out to your CU Buffs.
Mm.
Man, Phil, I thought they were dead in the water. I thought the men's basketball team was dead in the water. They fell off a cliff. At one point, they were like 22nd ranked team in the country. They were just bad at points during the year.
They were.
Phil, they finished a regular season on a 6-game win streak. They swept the Oregon schools, Oregon and Oregon State, to finish the year. And they'll be the 3 seed with a first-round bye in the Pac-12 tournament, and they'll play the winner of Utah and Arizona State.
Zach, there's starting to click, man. Something's in the air for them, whether they were drinking the same water, you know, as each other or whatever the case may be.
Drinking the same water as each other.
Some of that good water, man. If I had some good water, that was making me successful. You would want to drink out of it.
Like Space Jam that they drink like the something like that years ago. I don't know.
Oh man, why are you cribbing my style, man?
How about Andy Katz? Andy Katz is like one of like the premier voices in the college basketball world. He has your CU Buffs, led by Tad Boyle, winning the Pac-12 tournament.
I like it.
Wow.
I love it.
I can't see that. Is Arizona still in the Pac-12?
Arizona's still in the Pac-12.
Okay.
Yep. If Cody Williams plays, they got a shot.
Downers.
Just give me my opinion.
Anti-Russ fans. Oh. Anti-CU Buff fans.
We got CSU.
Come on now.
CSU, by the way,
is
going to be a 7 seed in the Mountain West tournament, which would have sounded hard to believe the way they started the year. One of the best years they've ever had. One of the best players they've ever had, Isaiah Stevens, in his final year, as a 7 seed. And they'll play their first round game against San Jose State on Wednesday. So best of luck to both programs. Any thoughts, fellas, behind the glass on this?
Oh, man. That could not be a tougher start to a tournament. I'm not even joking. San Diego State is just, they've been on a roll this year.
San Jose State.
Okay. All right, never mind. CSU, but they'll be fine.
But if they win, they would get Nevada in the second round. Nevada's having a phenomenal year. So, yeah, not a good row for CSU, but I still think they're probably still in the tournament. Like, the Mountain West might send six teams to the tournament.
That's right, yeah.
When you compare it to the Pac-12.
What are they going to send? Two, three?
Probably.
All right.
Now, Isaiah Stevens is the one that Stoke does not want.
Stokely and Josh said that he didn't do enough to get his jersey retired at CSU, despite being the all-time leading scorer, all-time leading assister, winning the most games in program history. But he did not do enough, according to Stokely and Josh.
Well, he's a 7th. They're in the 7th seed, so he's hanging on by a thread. Stoke and Josh is not.
Oh, man, they're going to come in here. All right, let's keep it pushing here.
One, two.
Hey, real quick. What if Russell Wilson doesn't win the job against Kenny Pickett? Is there any possibility of that happening?
Oh, there's always that possibility, Zach. There always is. I don't see it happening. I think that everybody from the media to Mike Tomlin wants Russell Wilson to be the starter week one.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening. But you know what? I've seen stranger things. It is a battle. Kenny Pickett is a first-round draft pick, and he needs to go out there and fight for his job if it's up in the air, if it's a fair fight. Sometimes.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Because we've seen competition. We've seen him here in Denver. I mean, are they always on the up and up from your experience? Are they always square and fair?
No.
Fair and square?
It's never square and fair. It never is. It's scripted practices. And so if a coach wants to see something else from a player, they may script against you. For example, for a quarterback, right? Tyrod Taylor, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
They want Daniel Jones to be the starter, but they want to see what Daniel Jones does when things are not scripted the right way. Plays are not fit for the scheme. And see what you do with it. See how you react.
Interesting.
And sometimes they'll put you in a situation on the other side, like Tyrod at times, where it's scripted for you to be successful.
Yeah.
That's just like running the ball. It, like, if you're in a six-man box, it's going to be easier to run the ball. But if they go eight in the box in a practice to see about what the defense is doing, it's not successful. It's not built for the running back to break a long run.
Right.
So they can determine how things go by scripting things.
Who?
Crazy.
Who takes the first rep in training camp in Pittsburgh? Because Kenny's the incumbent. He's the guy that's been playing the majority of the snaps for the last 2 years. Russell's the newcomer, kind of falling on hard times on his third team in 4 years. Who do you think takes the first snap?
Russell, hands down. Russell is the one taking that first snap. And Denver better want him to, because it's like, man, we're paying $38 million. You better go out there and be a starting quarterback.
Wait, what? Why do we care?
We're paying the bill.
Do we want to see Russell be successful? Do you want to see Russell be successful?
I mean, as a player, yeah, I still want to see Russell be successful.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be against the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
But I still want to, like, people are still down in Russell Wilson. He's out of here.
Yeah.
He's living rent-free in Zach Bye and Drew's head.
But it's not rent-free. It's like $38 million
right.
bill. It's not rent-free.
You're
We're
right.
paying for him to play in Pittsburgh. I want to see Russ fail. I want to see him fail.
My man's still going to make the $38
million. I know.
And a cigar in his hand.
You don't want to know what? No, it's going to be a clipboard. Kenny Pickett's coming for that job.
You're right. It's a clipboard to show Kenny Pickett what he once ran when he gets done with the preseason.
No, I think Russell's going to win that job.
Okay.
I think Russell's going to win that job. And but we'll see. I'm curious to see how training camp actually plays out.
Like, should be excited.
Is it 50-50 reps? Is it like staggered? Is like will Steelers fans see by the end of week one of like, oh, they this is Russell's job? You know, we'll see.
1, 2, 3.
All right, how about our guy, Val Nichushkin,
Scoring
the game-winning goal in his first game back on Friday night against the Minnesota Wild. This set up kind of like storybook for Val, man. A low-scoring, tight game. He gets to punch it through.
On a power play,
which we talked about for like a couple months of like, hey, this is the power play guy. Even he missed like 13 games in a row, was still top five in the league in that department.
Have struggled in the power play, but their boy Val is back, making the game-winning shot. I mean, you got to love it. You got to love it, man.
Yeah, and I saw he was out on the ice, kept it real, real short and sweet after the game. Like, they called him out. He said, hey, like, I'm paraphrasing, because it's Monday and that was Friday, but it's like, good to be back. Thanks for the support. Love you. Skated away. That was it.
So, drop the mic.
Yep. So we'll see. I mean, Avs improved to an NHL best 26-6-0 at home this year. They already have tied the fifth most home wins in any season in franchise history. What have we got, 17 games left, something like that? So there's still plenty of time to carve their way into the record books in that department. There's still, you know, there's plenty of meat left on that Avs bone from what happened over the weekend. Yeah, and some of the updates we got. So we'll circle back because it's very relevant heading down the backstretch of the season. All right. The defending world champions mostly had their way over the weekend with the Denver Nuggets, but it was what happened after the game that had some folks saying, wait, what? That's next. The world champions on the hardwood mostly had their way over the weekend, but There's actually a couple things that happened after the game that had some folks saying, wait, what? We'll get to that here in just a second. A huge busy day in the National Football League, and we're going to continuously be updating you on what you need to know, because it has been already a wild, wild day. Day number one of the quote-unquote tampering period leading up to the official start of free agency on Wednesday. But it has been an absolute wild trip. If you've been working today, or maybe you just been out of the mix for the last hour, there's stuff that you need to know, and we're going to circle back to that in less than 14 minutes from now. But on the hardwood on Saturday evening, Denver Nuggets hammer the Jazz 142-120. 142-120. That is a game that doesn't look close, Phil, right?
Yeah, it looks like you just get dominated.
That was mostly the case outside of the third quarter, which the Denver Nuggets actually got outscored 44-24. And despite the win, which is, what is this team now, 7-1 coming out of the All-Star break, something like that?
They're rolling.
It didn't stop Michael Malone, from absolutely blasting his team.
It was embarrassing. You know, I can hear my father, who's up in heaven. I hope he's up in heaven. But every time we get a big lead, he said it. You guys are the same old Nuggets. For 9 years now, you get a big lead, stop playing, stop doing what got you the lead, and you let teams back in almost every single night. So my father was right here tonight talking to me, saying, I told you so.
Damn.
He was hard on himself, man.
I guess so. He said, same old Nuggets. Like, same old Nuggets who are 8-1 out of the All-Star break and just won by 22 points.
Yeah.
Felt like, this is the time and place to hammer him, huh? Just felt a little bit weird.
Yeah, I mean, you're a young coach now. You got your young team. But the thing is, the show doesn't stop. And if you go out there and you don't execute like you're supposed to on a team you're supposed to execute on, then you're going to be angry. You're going to be upset because you think that you can get away with things like that. And if you let things like that continue to slip, when you play big-time teams like the Celtics again, little things like that start to build up and add up, and then that's one of the reasons why you end up losing a game. So I just think that he's trying to find little ways to motivate his team because they are dominant.
Well, here's a little bit more from Michael Malone.
We'll take the win. You know, we've been struggling within our division, so now we're 6-5 in our division. We're 8-1 out of the break. We have 18 games to go, but, you know, it's all about creating habits. In that second half, we did not create good habits.
Okay, and just a last cut from Malone here.
I'll take a win all day. I mean, an ugly win is better than a pretty loss. So I'll take the win, but I'm not going to let this slide and say this is acceptable. And, you know, again, for me, it's like, well, he scored 142 points. That doesn't matter. We did not build the habits that we need in that second half.
Okay. You know what? This is one of these games that will get lost in the shuffle of the regular season. You just beat the Celtics. You're 8-1 coming out of the break.
Tough stretch, too. Before they got to the Celtics, they were on a little tough stretch where they had the Suns.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're probably tired. They're wore out. They're tired. And then you're playing a team that you're dominating, so you can't get kind of bored.
You know, you're right, though, in terms of the stretch. You know, on the road against the Warriors, against the Kings team that had beat you, you know, in back-to-back games in the last 2 weeks, a finals rematch against Miami, an emotional night in Los Angeles, again, to play the Lakers. You know, prime time against the Celtics, prime time against the Suns. Okay, hey. Michael Malone, here's what I'll say. I'm not a fan of this, really, this sort of tone after a 22-point win. I think it's time and place, and you're using a card that you could maybe just keep in the deck for a more relevant time to blast your team. But that guy has earned the benefit of the doubt of knowing the temperature of his club better than anyone on the planet. So if that's how he felt like he needed to operate, it's one of these things where there's some trust built up, and I'm A-okay with it.
Well, what would you want him to do? Or what would you have liked him to do?
Not obsess over the 12 minutes
okay.
that didn't go well and acknowledge more of the, hey, how about the best first half shooting performance we've seen like in some time? Like, they were ripping the net off the basket in that first half.
So tell me this, the 12 minutes was in the third quarter, correct?
Yep.
So honestly, the Denver Nuggets have been pretty good coming out of third quarters anyway against the tougher teams. Mm-hmm. So what if he does get, you know, the Nuggets get in a situation with the Celtics in the finals and they show up like they did the Jazz in the third quarter, then does it become an issue?
Yeah, sure.
So I think for him, it's like he said, I like what he's doing because it's about creating habits. No matter who you're playing, the Bad News Bears or the Boston Celtics, bring that same energy so that we don't even have to mess around with anything. Just dominate when you're supposed to dominate and let's go home.
All right. Nuggets picked up another win very comfortably against the Jazz. Third quarter didn't go so well. Okay, all good. What did you make after the game? What did you make after the game? Jamal played great. Jamal Murray played great.
37 points.
37. As 6 of 9 from 3. 13 of 21 from the floor. 7 assists. I mean, he was great with a capital G. But what kind of stole some of the show after the game was Jamal Murray going to the post-game press conference and having his phone in his hand and watching UFC 299 with the sound on while he fielded questions. I can't remember ever seeing something like that before.
I've never seen anything like that. That's disrespectful as heck, Zach. Okay. Just go in there, answer some questions, or don't go in there at all. Just say, you know what, my friends, I think one of his good friends is a UFC fighter.
Yeah, but he fought 2 weeks ago, I think it was, the dude that he hangs with. But he's a big UFC guy,
just
in general.
Yeah, for sure. Go rewatch the UFC fights, because that's you can do that. But answer the question. These media people, they hype you up. They make you to be this Superman. And then you go in there and you kind of tear them down and you do disrespectful stuff. That's what Malone's saying. It's bad habits. That's a bad habit to do with a grown man that's been there and done that. And you go out there and show colors like that. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, right?
This is one of these. This is one of these where I've seen a lot of disagreement on it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's literally been articles written on this, believe it or not. I loved the way you said it right out of the start. If you're going to go do the press conference, do the press conference. But guess what? You don't have to do the press conference. Mm. In fact, every single night in that league, star players say, not tonight, not going to the podium. That happens every single night of the season. So just pick one, I would say. Just pick one. I don't think it's a big deal, but looking at it in a vacuum, it was just unprofessional, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, he's watching the fight with the sound on, and the defenders of it are like, well, he's answering every single question. And again, I don't think it's a big deal at all. But just pick one. Either respect the process or don't partake in the process. But sitting there watching the fights with the sound on as you're answering the questions, I mean, it's just weird. I can't recall ever seeing it.
I just think it's disrespectful, man. If I'm asking you a question, I'm hoping that you're answering it to the best of your ability, not just answering it just to answer because you want to leave. You know, you just had 37 points.
Yeah.
Right? You're doing your thing. Everybody respects you. You're Jamal Murray.
Right.
Right? What if someone like Michael Jordan would have done that? What if someone like Kobe, would you ever see Kobe Bryant doing that?
I don't think so.
Never that. Now, he might have been mad and rude at times.
Sure.
Job done, job not done.
Yeah, sure.
But for this case, it's like, I don't know, man. It's just like you're playing the Utah Jazz. You beat them up. You didn't have a good third quarter as a collective group. Mike Malone's already on edge because of that. Then you come out with your phone. Like, it just doesn't look good that Saturday.
Yeah, it was just weird. It was just weird. But here's what I will say, and I've said this a few times in the past about Jamal.
Yeah.
And again, people are going to hear what they want to hear. So I'm going to say it for a third time this segment. I don't think this is a big deal.
Mm.
It's all good.
Yeah.
All right? But I have noticed, following Jamal's career as long as I have, you do see him sometimes when things are going very well for him.
Mm.
It gives him like a license to act a certain way that can sometimes be unbecoming of him or professional.
Okay.
Or unprofessional. And I'm sure you've seen this with other guys that like—
They feeling themselves a little bit.
When you're feeling yourself, you start to like act a certain way that you wouldn't otherwise if things weren't going really well. So I've seen Jamal through the years, like, you know, play really, really great and then make a media member feel really, really weird or really small or, you know, kind of disrespect the process a little, or like crap on the process. It's just weird. It just feels like one of those things where he kind of, his extraness grows when he actually plays really, really well, which isn't my favorite quality to see, and I'm just calling it as I see it. But again, not the end of the world, but it was just It's different, man. Hey, how about Christian Brown going 5 for 5 from the floor? 3 for 3
yes.
from three? Those are little but big moments for someone like Christian Brown.
Yeah.
For someone like Peyton Watson, who once again shot 50% from
double
the field.
Trouble. Yeah. Double trouble, man.
Double trouble, as you've been calling them, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, both in double figures in an absolute rout. And then Jokic, 26 points, 6 rebounds, no 8 assists, a couple blocks, steal. just kind of,
on, Joe.
On 12 of 14 shooting. Missed 2 shots.
Crazy.
So, yeah, he's...
about MPJ now? 19 points?
Yeah. An 8 of 13 shooting. 3 of 5 from 3. An efficient night from MPJ.
Yeah.
Keep stacking bricks, man. Keep stacking bricks. Love watching this basketball team. All right, it's one of the busiest days on the NFL calendar, and the Broncos are part of it. We'll catch you up on what you need to know coming up next.